Well, first of all, I wanted to, on behalf of the sponsoring churches, the other sponsoring churches, to thank Pastor Waters and the church here, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, for hosting this conference. It's been a joy, and we also want to thank Pastor Waldron for coming and ministering to us. It's been a delight to not only get to know him, but to hear the word of God from him. And we're thankful that you were willing to come and brave several days of our brutal Florida winter. And so I'm glad that glad you were able to do that. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles again. We looked at this last night, but nothing was said about this psalm, so I'm going to say a few things about this psalm this morning, Psalm 95. Psalm 95, and we'll read the first seven verses of Psalm 95, and I'd like to draw your attention to just a few things. Psalm 95, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. So reads God's word. Now, the author of Psalm 95 is actually not actually known. Doesn't really matter, because we know from the New Testament that certainly the Holy Spirit of God inspired whoever wrote this to write these very words. But this is a call for God's people to come and praise their God. God who is a great King, God who is a great God above all gods. And we've been hearing in these sessions, or the session last night at least, and we'll again today, about the regulative principle of worship, how that God's worship is to be regulated by his word alone. And I'd like you to appreciate that in this psalm we have here at least four spiritual dispositions which ought to characterize our worship of God. We could put it this way. Not only should we regulate the activities of our worship by God's word, but I would say to you that we ought to also regulate the dispositions of our hearts by his word as well. Amen. Our worship should be regulated by God's word, and then our hearts that we bring to God in our worship also is to be regulated by principles from the word of God. Not only the what of worship, but the how of worship should be governed by scriptures if we would offer to the Lord worship which is well-pleasing unto him. Now notice these four dispositions of heart that we have here in this psalm. First of all, we should sing and praise our God with joy. In fact, I would say, because of the way it's written here, with exuberant joy. Brethren, when we consider God as the God who has delivered us from our sins, the God who is the rock of our salvation, as the psalmist says here, when we consider what a glorious and great and gracious God we worship, how can we not help but be filled with joy? Joy in the God of our salvation, salvation that comes to us, of course, freely in the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice in him. Secondly, we should worship and praise our God with deep gratitude. Psalmist says we should come before his presence with thanksgiving, verse 2. Thankful to God, thankful for his steadfast love, thankful for his mercies which are new to us every morning. Thankful that he chose to set his love upon us, even though we were hell-deserving sinners. Surely, thankfulness ought to permeate our praise to God. Every worship service, we should be coming to offer a thank offering to our God. Thirdly, we should worship him with faith and confidence in our relationship to him. You notice verses 6 and 7. We're called to worship and bow down before him and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And so, brethren, we do not come to worship a God who is some distant, unknown deity. We worship a God who has made us and who has made us to be his people. We are his sheep by his grace and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his people. We are even his children. The Lord is our shepherd. And so we come recognizing and appreciating that we have this wonderful relationship with our God. And then fourthly, and here's the heart of what I would like to say to you this morning. We must also worship our great God with appropriate fear and reverence. You'll notice this is stressed in the passage. Verse 6, O come, let us worship. And of course, you know the word worship means to prostrate ourselves before God. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now, to bow down before God is to recognize his sovereignty. It's to recognize his majesty. It's to be in awe of him, to kneel before him. It's to recognize our creatureliness and our dependence upon our great God. In other words, we're humbling ourselves before him. And may I say that this disposition of humility, of reverence, of awe, of fear before the Lord is absolutely essential if we would if our worship is to please him. If you flip back just a page or two to Psalm 89, and a psalm which we know, of course, is a messianic psalm. Psalm 89 gives us this disposition. Clearly, what's implied in Psalm 95 is clearly stated in Psalm 89. And it says this in verse 6. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord, your faithfulness also surrounds you. And so, brothers and sisters, when we gather together in the special presence of God, like we heard last night, we're to gather and worship him in this disposition of reverence and fear and awe. He's to be held in reverence in the assembly of the saints. Hebrews 12:28, on a New Testament passage, tells us the same thing, brethren. Of course, that again is a gospel context, really. It says that, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may worship God acceptably. How do we do that? How is it we worship God in an acceptable way? The writer says, with reverence and godly fear or awe. For our God is, not was back in the Old Testament, in those ritual times. No. Is now, in the context of gospel blessing, we're coming to Mount Zion, to the mediator, to the Lord Jesus. And yet the writer says, we are coming to this God who is a consuming fire. Worship him with reverence and godly awe. It's not optional. It's not optional. In our corporate worship of him, beloved, we're called to bow down before him in the very presence of this great, holy, almighty God. Give him the honor and worship due unto his great name. Well, is this how we approach worship? As pastors in planning our worship and leading in worship, do we ever ask the question, is this activity or is this hymn or whatever we're doing, is it conducive to reverential worship? Can our people come and bow in sacred joy and joyful fear and awe with what we are planning to do in our worship services. I don't probably need to tell most of you that so much of what is done today in the name of worship is simply not compatible with the fear of God. Well, may God help us to do everything we can to promote these dispositions, especially to promote reverence and awe in our worship services, that we may worship our great and gracious God acceptably, and that our worship, both the what of our worship as well as the how of our worship, will be ordered according to the Word of God. Let's pray together. O our gracious, faithful, almighty God, we are so grateful that you have chosen us to be your people. You have chosen to be our God, that we are the sheep of your hand, that you minister to us, you shepherd us. Oh, Father, you have redeemed us through the blood of your Son and made us your people. And we are so thankful that you have called us to worship you. You could have left us in our sins, could have left us to wander in this world in darkness and then be punished in hell forever. But you have chosen to save us and to deliver us and to give us grace and to call us out of darkness into your marvelous light. What a good God you are. And we bless you this morning. We are thankful for your word. We thank you for this church. We thank you for all of your people here, for the men that are here that labor in word and doctrine. We thank you for the ministry we've already had from Pastor Waldron. We sincerely ask you today to come and to minister to our hearts once again, that you would help our brother as he preaches to us, that you'd give him much grace and liberty, fill him with your Spirit, and you give us ears to hear what you would have us to hear this morning. Please help us as your people, that we might love you more, that we might desire to come and worship you, that we would be glad when others say to us to come into the house of the Lord. May we be glad and rejoice in the opportunity and the privilege we have to be your worshipers. Seal your word to our hearts today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.